Today's Shir Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Chaf. We will begin on Daf Yud Tes on the base, six lines from the bottom. In our previous Shir, we spoke about Shaul HaMelech's relationship with David HaMelech, Shaul's two daughters, Merav and Michal, and we spoke about Michal being married to Palti Ben Kish. And the Gemara begins, Ksiv, one pasuk says, V'shaul Nosson, as Michal Bitoy Eshes David L'Palti Ben Lish, Asher Megalim. Another place, as the Gemara asked the Gemara Ksiv, the pasuk, when referring to him, says, V'yishlach Ishboishes V'yikuchem Im Ishme Im Paltiya Ben Lish. So, what was his name? Asked the Gemara. Was his name Palti, or was his name Paltiel? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan Palti Shemoi. His name was really Palti. V'lom Nikra Shemoi Paltiel. Why was he called Paltiel? Shapalti Menavera. He was Palti Kel Menavera. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected him from doing an Avera. Ma'osa. What did exactly Palti do? You know, it's Palti realized that Michal was really David's wife. And even though Shaul HaMelech had given her to him as a wife, he recognized that that really wasn't proper. And therefore, what he did was, in order to avoid having a relationship with her, Ma'asa Na'atz Cherev, he put a sword, Beino LeBeino, he put a sword to separate them. And he said, Kol HaKadosh Dovazeh, anybody will try, if he will try to have relations with her, Yadaka Becherev, he should be stabbed with the sword. The Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asked the obvious question. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asks, how and why would this be of any use? Yes, he put the sword to keep them separate, but just like he put the sword there, he could easily remove the sword. So why is this going to be of any help? Zokt Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. From here we see that when a person makes a decision, and when that decision is made at the beginning, that the point and the strength of a decision that is made at the beginning is tremendously strong. And therefore, since Palti made this decision that he will not have relations with her, even though they, as we'll discuss, remain together, that decision was what it was able to keep him strong in that determination. Ask the Gemara, V'ksiv v'yelech ito isha holcha v'acha ad bachurim. The pasuk calls her isha. Isn't that a proof that they were married? Answers the Gemara, shenas like isha. They were close. They had a close relationship, but they were never acted as husband and wife. But ask the Gemara, the pasuk says, V'ksiv holoch u'bacha achreha. So it means that she was leaving him. Isn't that an indication they were together? Answers the Gemara, what he was crying about was al ha-mitzvah de ozumenei. Till now he had this incredible mitzvah that he was able, that he had to control himself to stay away from her. And now that they weren't going to be together anymore, that was something that he was disappointed about. Rav Pinchas Koritz in the Sefer Imri Pinchas says that the Gemara Masechta Sukkah, that Nun Beis Amar Aleph says, Los Lavoi, when Mashiach comes, B'mheir B'yameinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevel Yetzahara B'shachtu B'fnei HaTzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring the Yetzahara in front of us. Tzadikim B'aych V'aymrim, he says the Tzadikim will be crying, saying, Heich Yichol Nelich B'shar Gol Azeh, how could we have overcome such a powerful mountain? B'shoim B'aych V'aymrim, Heich Lo Yichol Nelich, how could we not overcome, it's just the hair. So we understand that the Rishayim are upset that if it was so easy to overcome the Yetzirah and they didn't, that's something to be disappointed about. But why the Tzaddikim will cry? Shouldn't they be happy that they were able to overcome the Yetzirah? Says Repichas Mikaretz, that they're going to be disappointed, like Palti Ben Lish was disappointed. Palti Balish is disappointed that he no longer has the opportunity to do this mitzvah of overcoming the Yetzer Hara. And therefore, he's going to be able to, that's why they're going to be disappointed, we no longer have that opportunity. The Achrayim ask, but how could Palti Balish been with her? Isn't that a violation of Yichud? So one teretz that they suggest is that they had the door open. And the halacha is the Pesach Pasuch L'Shus Rabim, if the door is open, it's not considered a violation. It's not considered a violation of Issa Yichud. The other teretz that I saw that the Paiskim suggest is, as we discussed in our previous year, there was actually a machloikis between David and Shaul if he was truly married to her or not. And according to David HaMelech, they weren't married. So since according to David HaMelech, they really weren't married, according to Shaul, they really weren't married, everything that Palti did was really superfluous. And since everything that they did was actually superfluous, that's why it's not considered that there was really a situation of Yichud. The pasuk says, V'yelech ito isha holuch boch achra ad bacharim. What does that mean? Shenasu shneim kebacharim. They both had the quality of young people, shlo tam tam bia, because they never had bia, they kept away from each other. Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says, Toikva shel yosai, Yosef. When we speak about Yosef at Tzadik, how he was able to control himself and not to do anything with Eishes Petifar, Kavan snosai shel Boaz. It's nothing compared to what Boaz did. Because Boaz, as we remember the story in Megillas Rus, Rus actually lay down on the same bed as Boaz. So it took much more control for what Boaz had to control himself more than Yosef. And Toikvish Boaz compelled Nusa Shapalti Ben Lish. When we speak about Palti Ben Lish, that he lived together with Meichel all this time and controlled himself, that's even a greater madrega. And the Gemara explains itself. Toikvish Yosef Avin Sosai Shal Boaz, the Ksiv. The pasuk says regarding Boaz, "V'hi b'chatzei alayla," was the middle of the night. "V'yechred ish ve'ilofes," and the man trembled. "My ve'ilofes," "Shenasa b'sar k'roshi leftis," he had kishui. He was ready to be able to get. He had to overcome wanting to have be with her. She was laying on the same bed, and she wasn't a married woman. Just Boaz knew that she has to have first chalitza from an individual who was a closer relative. And that was enough that to control him that he shouldn't do what he wasn't supposed to do. And Taikrish Abayas, and when we speak about Abayas, if I'm Snosish Pati Balish, Pati Balish was even in a greater situation. Kedamaran, as we've been discussing, they were in the same bed, and he still didn't do anything wrong. In the same home all that time. Amar Rav Yochanan Ma'adik Siv, says Rav Yochanan, the Pasuk says, Kol, Rabbis Banas Asa Choyel, Vata Lus Akolonis, says the Gemara, how do we understand that Pasuk? Rabbis Banas Asa Choyel refers to Yosef and Boaz that were able to overcome their Yetzirah. That olus akolanu zah palti belish, as we just finished explaining, his nesayin was even a greater nesayin. Amar Shimon Nachman Rabbi Yoyin Samadik Siv Sheker Hein Vehevel Ayoyfi Isha Yiras Hashem He Tesalo Sheker Hein refers to Yoyfi to Yosef. Vehevel Ayoyfi refers to Boaz. Yiras Hashem He Tesalo refers to Yiras Hashem He Tesalo refers to palti belish with the strength that he had to overcome what he overcame. And the Maral explains that when we think about chen is to find favor in somebody else's eyes, it doesn't really necessarily represent that this person is great. All it represents is that he has people like him. When we look at Yosef and Boaz, their Nisayon, as we're learning in today's Gemara, wasn't such a significant Nisayon. And since it wasn't such a significant Nisayon, it's only referred to Chayin, something that's outwardly beautiful. But when we speak about Pati Belish, where he had this very powerful Nisayon about with being together in the same home, that is really a representation of a great Nisayon. And as the Ben Yoyod explains, besides that there was a great Nisayon, they were living in the same house, Boaz and Yosef, they had the Nisayon, and Chas v'Shalom, our goal here is not to belittle the Nisayon, but their Nisayon was just for a short time. Boaz that one night, Yosef, when the wife of Potiphar tried to seduce him. But when we speak about Palti, it was an ongoing event. And since it was an ongoing event, that was something that is much greater. The Reb Michal Feinstein Zatzal explains, continues the Gemara. Davar Acha, Shekra Hein Zedar Shal Moshe, Vavla Yoifi Zedar Shal Yeshua, Yiras Hashem, Titasal Zedar Shal Cheskel, reflects the door of Yecheskel, that even though it was not the time of Moshe and Yeshua, they still learned Torah. And as I saw, as I started to say, Reb Michal Feinstein Zatzal explains, he says that if we look at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and we look at the time of Yeshua, they lived in time where people saw the Yad Hashem. There were so many Nisim. And in such a case, to serve Hashem and to connect to Hashem is much easier than in a time where we don't see the Yad Hashem. And that's why what they did is even greater. Davacha Shekra Heinz Adarish HaMashim Yeshua. Hevel HaYoifi refers to the Doroi Shel Chizkiya. Yiras Hashem Zadarish Rabbi Yehuda Ba'aloi. Amar Lava Rabbi Yehuda Ba'aloi. Shoshayisha Tamidim Miskasim Metalas Echad. There were six Tamidim that only were able to come themselves with one garment. Vayiskim V'tarim, they learned Torah. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz Tzal, we used to explain what is the greatness. So the Pash Pshat in this Gemara is that they were so poor that six people had to share one talus, but they, even though they were so poor, that they still were sitting and learning. Another Pshat is that it represents tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. People living such a type of life that even in such poverty, they're serving Hashem, that is a representation of tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz has a whole different pshat. He says, how is it possible for six people to share one garment? He says, there's only one way how six people could share one garment. And that is if everybody's ready to give up for the other person. He says, the greatness of the Dor of Yehuda Bar Eloi was that one was able to give up for the other person. He didn't, if everybody's going to schlep that talus towards themselves, nobody's going to have anything from the talus. But if they're ready to give up their talus for each other, then they will be able to all use that talus. And that was the greatness of that generation, how they were able to do for one was able to do for the other. Says the Mishnah, Mace Loi Mace, if one of the relatives of the king passes away, any Yotzim Pesach Paltrin, Shaloi, he doesn't leave his palace to go to the Levaya. Yudaima, Imratis Lotzis Achamita, if he wants to go out after the coffin, Yotzim. Because says the Mishnah, Shekem Atzina, but David Shiyotza Achamitasa Shal Avner, we find that David HaMelech went out after the coffin of Avner, Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'melech David Hoylech Achamita, David followed the Mita, Amalai Loihaya Dover. The reason that David HaMelech did that is not because a king is allowed to attend the Levaya, but rather Lefais HaSasam, there were people that thought that Avner was killed by Yoav, and that there were people that thought that it was based on Dovid HaMelech's direction. So he wanted to make sure that everybody should realize that it wasn't that way. Shemar v'nosoi, as we've discussed in our shiurim, that after the levaya of Avol, the first suda that they give him has to have food that's round, eggs or lentils, and it's food from other people. So the way it happened, the way it's conducted, is kala om subim al aretz. Everybody sits on the earth, and who may sevel a dargish? The Gemara will explain what is a dargish. Tarabonim, makom shnagu noshim lotzeis achamita, in a place that the minig is by a levaya that women go behind the nifter yoytzes and the men go in front. Lufnei amita, and where the minig is that they go in front of the mita, then yoytzes they go. And as the Rishonim explain, Tosfos explains that even though we don't normally have men follow women, but here, because it's a levaya, here, since it's a levaya, then we don't have to worry that the men are going to be thinking what they're not supposed to be thinking about. Others explain that the women go in front because the women brought Misa to the world. The women brought death to the world with Chava and Eitz Hadas. And others explain, still, we want the women to go behind. We don't want men looking at women during a levaya. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Aymer Lo'olam Noshim Lefnei Amitas Yoytzes. Always the halach is that women go in front of the coffin. Why? She came and seen David. She yotze ach mitas shel Avner. The pasuk says that David HaMelech went behind the mita of Avner. Shenema v'amelech David hoylech acher hamita. And it's difficult or inconceivable to say that David HaMelech was walking amongst the women. Amru loy sechacham seter Yehuda loy ayedava elfay se'am. The reason you can't bring a raya from that levaya was a very unique situation to David HaMelech should prove to the people that he had no bad intention. And indeed, when the spaisu, they were appeased. So David Yoytzim ben Anoshim, ben Nicholas ben Anoshim, David went from the men to the women, Yoytzim ben Anoshim, ben Nicholas ben Anoshim, then he went from the women to the men. Shenamar, as the pasuk indeed says, V'yeidu kol ha'am v'chol Yisrael, k'lo Yoytzim HaMelech, Lahamas's Avner Bener, it wasn't David HaMelech's plan to do anything to hurt Avner Bener. Darsh Rava. V'yav kalam lahavris es David. Ksiv, the pasuk says, Hachrois. Hachrois means to uproot. The Karina lahavris to give him the Sudas Avra. Says the Gemara, what happened there? Shebetchila lahavroisoi. At the beginning, they came to destroy him, because what they thought that he had been the one to say that Avner should be killed, but after they recognized that he wasn't part of that plan, it was Lavroisa that they just gave him the Sudas Havra. And from here we see that there are many menhagim about women going out to a levaya, going out to the actual kfura. We're not speaking about the going to a basic kfaris. And from here, that there's a minig that women should not go to the base of Kvaris. The Gra writes, V'shtishmish loytel base of Kvaris klal. He says that the women and should not be going to a Kvura, and that's the minig in many communities, that women do not attend the burial of a Nifter based on what we just learned in our Gemara. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Rav, Neiman Nenish Avner. Why was indeed Avner punished that Yoyev killed him? Says the Mamnei Shehoyah Limchas B'Shol. When Shol was involved in the killing of the city of Noiv Ir Kahanim V'Loi Micha. When David HaMelech ran from Shol, he came to the city of Noiv and he asked Achimelech HaKoyin, who was the leader of that city, to help him, and Achimelech gave him food and he gave him a sword. When Shaul became aware of what happened, he thought that this was an act of treason, and he killed out the entire city. And what the Gemara is saying is that Avner should have and could have used his influence to prevent Shaul from doing this. Rav Yitzchak says, Micha, that Avner did try to do something, but Shaul ignored him. V'shnei Mikra Chadashim says, they both learned their opinion from the same pasuk. The pasuk says that V'kayna melech al Avner v'yoyma ha'kamayis novel yomis Avner yedech alay asuris v'reglech alay nechashtim higashu k'nfol l'fnei b'nei Avl nefalta. Man da'amash shlamicha, according to the opinion that says that he didn't say anything to Shaul, hachikamer. This is what the pasuk means to say. Yedech alay asuris v'reglech alay nechashtim higashu. Your feet and hands were not tied, and you could have done whatever you wanted. And therefore, we have a question on you. My tamaloy mechis. Why did you not say anything to Shaul? And therefore, the pasuk continues, because you didn't say anything to Shaul when you could have, therefore, k'nfol b'nei b'nei avlo nafaltam. Manda b'michav le'nena. The pasuk is to be understood. At mo'im etuam, the pasuk is questioning. Hakamois novel yomus. Why did you die in such a fashion, Avner? Yotchalay asurus, reglechalay nechashtim. You didn't act like a person whose hand and feet are tied. You said something what you had to say. Michti, mechuyim achis. You did protest. And the pasuk is therefore asking, my tamal can fall of nei b'nai avlo nefalt. Why did you have such a death? So ask the Gemara, if indeed Avner did what he was supposed to do, lamanda omer, Micha, according to the opinion that he did protest, so why my tami inish? Why did he get punished? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Shishor Malchus based David Shonim Amachza. He prevented David HaMelech for 2.5 years from becoming king. After, over all of Klal Yisrael, after Shaul died, the people in Chevron appointed David to be Melech over Shevet Yehuda. And 7.5 years later, that he become the king of all of Klal Yisrael. The first 5 years after Shaul died, there was no melech over Yisrael. Afterwards, for 2 years, they were under the rule of Ishbosheth ben Shaul, who was made king by Avner. And then there was another half a year without any king, from when Ishbosheth passed away until David became the melech of all of Klal Yisrael. And if Avner, says the Gemara, had not been instrumental in appointing Ishbosheth to be the king, David would have become a king 2.5 years earlier. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. But Tosfos has a problem with Rashi's pshat. Because Tosfos says, so for the 2 years that Avner was instrumental in Ishbosheth becoming the king, we understand why he was punished. But the half a year from when Ishbosheth died until David became Melech of all of Klal Yisrael, why should Avner be punished for that? So explains Tosfos the other way around. It took Avner half a year to convince Ishbosheth to become the king. And then he was king for 2 years, and that's why that entire period of 2.5 years are reckoned to Avner's fault that delayed David HaMelech becoming king of all Klal Yisrael. So we learned in the Mishnah, when they serve the king, the Sudas Havra, everybody who's there sits on the ground, and the king sits on the Dargish. Ask them, my dargish, what is the dargish? Ula arsa degada. The arsa degada is a bed that they used to have in the house, a couch, which was signified good luck. That's how Rashi explains. The Ran says that he can't accept Rashi's pshat because that's a form of nichush, it's a form of a dezara. How could that be in our homes? And therefore, the Ran explains that they used to have a bed in the homes that they never used, and that was a sign of wealth, that we even have a bed that we have no use for. The Rosh says that it wasn't made l'shei nichush, and since it wasn't made for that purpose, it's not usur. And the Rosh goes on to explain He says that when somebody, when Malachim come to somebody's house and they see the house is neat, then they say that this house should be blessed. There should be a shiris. There should be wealth in this house. If they see the house is unfortunately messy, then they say there should be anius. There should be poverty in this home. And he says that they had this bed in the house, which was always kept neat, that that should be the bed that brings mazel, bracha, a shiris to the home. Amalei, Rabbanan l'ula. So Rabbanan asked, ulamika mida, da'ad evne lo sivni. The dargish, as we just explained, was not a bed that was used to sit on. And now, dafka, when he's an oval, v'hashta masvinalei, and now we ask him to sit on that bed, maskla rava maikasha. So asks Rava, why is this so troubling to you? Just like we've been speaking about eating and drinking, we discussed in our shiurim that by Sudas Havra, other people bring food to the oval. Now, when we speak about a king, nobody serves the king food and drink. He's certainly self-sufficient. And now, we do give him food and drink. So that's not a problem. Yes, we normally don't sit on the arsh of the gada, but in these circumstances, we do. It says, kasha. What bothers me, says, is dagish enetzarch lekvaisoi. The Braisa says that one of the minhagim that they had when they had an oval is that they did kviyas hamita. They turned over all the beds in the house. We don't do it, the Rishonim explained, for two reasons. Number one, because there's a concern that the Akum will say that this is some sort of a kishif that we're doing in our homes. And the second reason is our beds, as we're going to see in our shir now, are very different types of beds. And therefore, on these type of beds, we don't kfir samita. Dagish ain't tzarech l'kfaisoi, ela zoikfoi. We just don't turn it over, we let it stand up. V'isak datach, as the gada, if we're saying that it's a bed that you could sit on, amay ain't tzarech l'kfaisoi, why must it not be turned over? V'tanya, have we learned in the Braisa when we speak about Hilchus Avelis, ha-kaifas mitasa, when the beds are turned over, loy mitasa bovaru kaifa, not only must the bed that you sleep on, sit on, be turned over? El kol mitos sheyesh lebetach b'yisrael kofa, says the Gemara. That isn't such a big question. My kosher, dilma mita dehava, the ash, the god, is treated like a mita hamyuchedes lekelim, a bed that's used only to keep things on it. The Tani, the Brisa says, im hoysim yuchedes lekelim. If this bed is not meant for sitting or laying on, it's only meant to store kalim on it. It doesn't have to be turned over. And therefore, it's not a kasha why this dargish is not turned over. Elhi kasha ha kasha. This is the question. Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer, in telling us what is the halacha about a dargish by somebody sitting shivas, matas kabitim, there are loops that connect the mattress or the mat to the side, vunay from elav. V'isal kedatach arsa degata. If we're going to say the dagish is arsa degata, ask the Gemara gapita mislo. Does it have these loops? Says the Gemara al kasa Ravin. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, amalei hahu merabonan rav tachlif v'shmei davashchiach b'shukad del gadoi. He used to spend time in the place that people who work with leather used to be. It's a bed that's made out of a piece of leather that's tied to the sides, and they connect the piece of leather with loops to the bed. And when they want to use as a bed, they roll out this leather mat. And when they want to not use it, they open it up. And therefore, the way of doing it, of undoing it, is not like a regular bed normally. And that's the Machlokes Tanakama Shem Gamliel. The Tanakama holds that we stand it up, and Shem Gamliel says we just let the leather fall down. Says the Gemara, Amar Yirmiya, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Dargish Serugai, a dargish that the loops are tied on the bedpost, Mitoichai, that means that there are holes in the sides of the bed, and you put the strips, the loops through those strips. Mita, but when we speak about a bed, Saruga Ma'al Gaba, there are no holes in the side post. The loops are tied over the sides. Meisve asked the Gemara, we just said that when we speak about a mita, the way a mita looks is that the loops are on top of the wood. Ask the Gemara, the Mishnah Masech the Kalim says, Kli Eitz Meimus Mekabun Tuma, at what point is a wooden keli considered a full-fledged keli that it's subject to Tuma? Hamita, the bed, Varisa, the crib of a child, Mishi Shufim, from when you polish these posts, Baradag, with fish skin. Vim Mita Mesuregis Malgaba, if we're going to say that the loops are tied on top of it, so they're all tied, they're all covered with these loops. So Lamli Sifas or Adag, why would it need to be polished? El says the Gemara, when we speak about a mita and a targish, hava ha metaychai, both of them are constructed with holes in the side posts through which we put the loops. Mita uli vafuki bezyane. By bed, we put the loops through the holes. Bedagish uli vafuki bavaska. There are loops coming out of that side, and they tie one loop to the other loop. Amar Rav Yaakov Arvin Shimon Levi, halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel, that the way we do kfiyas hamita on a dargish is just to open up the loops and let the leather mat fall. Amar Rav Yaakov Ami, mita shenakli teha, the bed that the sides yoitzin go out from the bed, like it's a bed with an awning, Zoykvay, we pick it up, Vidaya, and that's how we fulfill the mitzvah of Kfiyas Hamita. The Mishnah continues speaking about the Melech. Says the Mishnah, Maitzi L'mechemes Rishus, even we have a Mechama that is not a Mechama that's obligatory, and there's a Mechleikus in the Rishonim that, what does that mean? Does it mean that he's going to capture land for himself? Api Bezin Shel Shem Echad, he has to have consent of the Bezin Shel Shem Echad, the Sanhedrin. Or Pirates Lasses Loi Derech, he's allowed to open, he's allowed to do whatever he can to take a road, to take people's houses, eminent domain. Derech HaMelech En L'Shir. When we spoke in Masechta Bava Masra, we spoke about a Derech HaMelech. What is the width of a Derech HaMelech? There is no Shir. Rashi says that why is he allowed to be pirates less like Derech? That if he wants to be able to get to his palace, to his field, he's allowed to take property to get there. The other Rishonim explain that he's not allowed to, for his own personal use, he's not allowed to do it. If he feels that for what's the welfare of the people or where he's going to war, he needs to take somebody's property, that's when he's allowed to do it. When they go to war, everybody takes what they take from the enemy, which the Gemara will explain. Ask the Gemara, what we just learned in our Mishnah is something that we already learned at the beginning of the Masechta, because the beginning of the Masechta we learned, answers the Gemara, indeed, this is a repetition. But I did the Tani Kamila the Melech. Since we're learning all the various halachas of a Melech, Tani Nam Mitzin L'Mechama, we learned this as well. The Pasuk in Shnavi Shmuel speaks about the people asking for a king. And Shmuel tells them, V'yayim Zeh Yir Mishpat HaMelech Hashim L'Chaleichem. This is the way the king will rule you. He will take your children. He'll take them to run in front of his chariots. He'll take them to work for him, to be in his army. He'll take your daughters to cook and bake in his palace. He'll take all of your fields to give to his servants. your ashev and nosim l'sarisa l'avodav, all of your seeds and your grapes will take. V'savtechem v'savtechem v'sbuchareichem atoifim v'schemreichem yikach v'aslam lachto. He's going to take all of your belongings for his own purpose. Tzoynchem yasher, your sheep will make him wealthy. V'atem tiyulu l'avodav, and you'll just be slaves. Says the Gemara, Amar Yudah Mishmur, Koloma b'pashas melech, whatever it says there, melech motabai. The Pasuk says it to teach us that the king is indeed allowed to do this. Rav Amalai Nemer Pasha Zu, the purpose of this parasha is only stated le'ayim aleihem, to get them to be scared. As the Pasuk says, Shnemar soim tasu alecha melech, and the purpose is shetei emasai alecha. So I saw Rav Yehuda also explains the many people who serve Hashem, but their intention is not really l'shem shemayim. They want to have people respect them. They want to have batonis. But when a king serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he can't have any ulterior motives. And that's what the pasuk says. Soim tosim alecha melech. Just like when we speak about a king, when a king serves Hashem, we know it's certainly with a pure intent, because he has no reason to have an alternative motive. Similarly, we should serve Hashem like the Melech serves Hashem with no ulterior motive. We say every night by Mariv, Malchus Chorov Anecha Bekei Yam Lefnei Moshe. What does the Malchus have to do with the Yam splitting? The pshat is that we are declaring that when did we see the Malchus of Hashem? That when do we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu running the world? When they split the Yam? Because we just learned in the Gemara that Melech pirates Leiderech, that the king could open up and could do whatever he wanted. And therefore, since the king could do what he wanted, so he could, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed that he could split the Yam, and he has the right to do so because he's the Melech Malchei Melochim. So says the Gemara, this question about the king, the power of the king, says the Gemara Ketanoi, is actually Mechlokes Tanoim. Rav Yosi Emekolam Epashis Melech Melech Mutaboy, the king is allowed to do. Rav Yehuda it was to frighten them. You should be frightened. Klai Yisrael were obligated to three mitzvahs as they entered at Yisrael. To appoint the king. To destroy Amalek. To build the Beis HaMikdash. So according to this, asking for a king was very legitimate. Rav Naharai Omer, Leinar Pasha Zu, of the king, Elikag Termoson. They complained they wanted a king. And that's why the Pasuk says, this is what you will get if you want a king. Shenemar, as the Pasuk indeed says, Kisuvai alerts Asher Hashem Elkech Noisloch, Virishta Vishaftaba, Vamata Sem Elay Melech, Kechol Agoyim Shisvoisai, Soim Tosim Elech Melech. Tanya, now the Gemara brings another opinion. The people in time of Shaul, the older people, the Zakenim asked properly. We want a king to rule us. The Amorites actually killed. Their request for a king was just that they should be able to be like all the. They wanted to be like everybody else. And the Ran explains that what is pshat and what the difference between the Zakenim and the other people were. The Ran says that the people wanted to have an absolute monarch who should have unlimited power to do whatever he wants and not be limited to the law of the Torah. And the Zakenim said that they wanted a king, the Zakenim want a king, but never is the never should it be at the price of going against what it says in the Torah. The Sefer Tzofnas Paneach, written by the Taldus Yaakov Yosef, explains this Gemara, that Klai Yisro were told, because the way we're learning now, asking for a king is not necessarily a positive thing, a proper thing. So how do we understand what the Gemara just said, that one of the mitzvahs we had when we came into Eretz Yisrael is Lahamed Lem Melech. So he says, Lahamed Lem Melech doesn't mean to appoint a king. He says, Lahamed Lem Melech means to have a king, that we, each one of us, should be a king over ourselves, and that we should know how to control ourselves and do what we're supposed to do. Many Rishonim, Tosfos, many Rishonim ask that there's a famous story in Nach, where Achav took the field of Novus HaYisraeli. But if he was a melech, why wasn't he allowed to do so? So one teretz is that he's allowed to take it, but not for his own purposes. Another thing is that if Achav would have said, I have the royal prerogative to take it, he would have a right. He wanted to pay. And he wanted to pay, and he didn't want to sell, then you're not allowed to take it. Another teretz is that he wanted to take it to use for Avodah Zarah, and then he's not allowed to take it. Another teretz, what we said before, is that the field could only be taken for government use, for use for the community. He wanted it for himself. Another teretz is that Achav took, this was a stay chuzah of Navas Yisraeli, and a stay chuzah that you have as a Yerusha, that you're not allowed to take. Another teretz is that Achav really wasn't considered a full-fledged melech of Klai Yisrael, and since he wasn't a full-fledged melech of Klai Yisrael, he wasn't intended, he had no right to take whatever he wants. Tanya, continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shloilu Shmitzvus Nesav Yisrael, B'Knesos L'Aretz, three mitzvahs of Klai Yisrael commanded as they entered Eretz Yisrael, L'ham L'Melech, L'Achar Zahar Shemelech, Livnes L'Am Beis V'Chira. Says the Brice of Eri Dei Ezmem T'chila, which mitzvah should be done first? Shomer, when the Apostle says, K'yor Al Kes Kom Kom El Hashem B'Amolik, Hava Amar, L'Ham L'Melech, Shein, Kisei El Melech, because the Apostle, when it speaks about Mechamas Amolik, it says the word Kisei, and whenever it says Kisei, says the Brisa, it references a king. Shnema, as the Pasuk says, V'yeshu Shloim al Kisei Hashem l'melech. V'adayin an any day, continues the Brisa, we're still not certain, im livus lam beisa b'chira t'chila, should they first build the beisa migdash, or l'hachra zara shal molech t'chila, or should they first eradicate Amalek? Shoimer, v'niach l'chem m'kol ayveichem yisovev v'shaftim bechach, after you've eliminated all of your enemies, then, so from here we see, first we eradicate Amalek, and then we build the Beis HaMikdash. Became a David Omer, and so does the Pasuk say by David HaMelech, when David HaMelech was sitting in his home, and he was able to prevail over his enemies, and at that point, the Pasuk says, V'yoyim HaMelech, David HaMelech says to Nosan HaNavi, Re'ei Anoichi Yoshev Beis HaRozim, I'm sitting in a house, in a sturdy home, V'royin HaLakim Yoshev V'toichi Yiriyah, the time to build the Beis HaMikdash has come. Amar Eish Lakish, V'tchila Melech Shlema El Yoyinim, first Shlema Melech ruled over even the Tzva Shebishmayim, the all of the heavens, Shlema V'yeshev Shlema Kisa Hashem, at the end, he was just melech on earth in this world. Shenemar ki uroide b'kol eiver anoam b'tifsav ha'azah, just this world. So says the Gemara in explaining that pasuk. Rav Shmuel chanam b'tifsach b'soif ha'olam. Tifsach was on one side of the world. V'azah b'soif ha'olam, azah was on the other side of the world. V'chanamar, and the other one explaining the pasuk says, tifsach v'azah b'hadeh ha'dodi yavyasi. They were right next to each other. And the pasuk means to say, "Shem, Shemolach, Al Tifsach Velaza." These are two cities that were right next to each other, and he was able to rule over both of them. Kach Molach Akoloyim Kuloy, and then he was able to rule over the entire world. Absoif continues the brisa, "My Molach Ella Yisrael." He was only king over Yisrael. Shenemar Ani ka'elos yisi melech al Yisrael. I was just king over Yisrael. L'psoif l'melech al Yerushalayim. Then he was only king over Yerushalayim. Shneb divrei ka'elos ben David. All he was melech Yerushalayim. L'psoif l'melech al mitasoi. And then he was only king over his bed. Shneb mitasoi shloshloima. L'psoif l'melech al amakloi. At the end, he only was king over his stick. That's all what he was left. So Chaim Shmulevitz says, what does that mean that he was king over his stick? He says, being a king is not only represented by what you are king over, but what being a king represents is how you act and how you live. And what Shlomo HaMelech, even at the point of his life, where he was just melech over his makel, he was just melech over his stick, that did not take away from him that he was a melech, that he had in him the attributes of a king. It says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel Charama l'maka, makloi, that he stick, that's all he had left, v'charama l'gundai, all he had left were his garments. Asked the Gemara, after he came from so high up to just being king over his stick or his clothing, hada loy hada, did he go back to his original glory? Rav Shmuel charama hadar, that he did go back, v'charama loy hada. Mandam loy hadar, because the person says that Shlomo Melech's history was he was a melech, and then he was a hedget, he was like a regular person, and he did not go back to his original position. Mandam hadar, melech, he was first a king, then hedget, and then he was treated like a regular person, but then ultimately, the malach, he became king again to his original glory.